In all you're getting, get wisdom.
Wisdom is the principal thing.
Through wisdom is a house built.
And by understanding, it is established.
Join Apostle Joshua Selman of Eternity Network International as he takes you on a journey into the wisdom of God's Word. Its intimacy, its partnership, its fellowship. This is Koinonia.
Let's lift our voices as a family of faith and say, thank you, Jesus. You have done all things well, and we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. You are mighty. We glorify you. We glorify you. Ability, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for the testimonies, the sign, the acts of his wisdom. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Now pray and say, Father, I am here again. Let the dew from heaven come upon my life. Lift your voice and pray. They go from strength to strength. Everyone that appeared before the Lord in Zion, they go from strength to strength, wisdom to wisdom, grace to grace. Please keep standing. Let's just read one scripture. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. It says, and now, brethren, I commend you first to God. Please keep it there. Okay. I commend you to God. And then to the word of his grace. And the Bible says that word is able to, number one, build you up. Build you up. And then to give you. The inheritance is yours, but it takes understanding to be a possessor. It says that the word is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them who paid attention before you. Among them who have obtained these realities, it says, I commend you to two things. One, a person, God. Like one would give a child to a caretaker. It says, and to the word of his grace. I'd like you to pray from the depth of your heart and be serious while you are praying. Say, Father, I have come to you and I have come to encounter your word. It has capacity to build my life. It has capacity to make me a possessor of possibilities. Lift your voice and make sure you are praying. Lift your voice, make sure you are praying. Tonight, let your word prevail over our hearts in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
From the pages of my heart, let my worship begin that never ends.
Sing it again.
It's from the pages of my heart. Let my worship begin that never end. To the God of all flesh. You're my God and your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. Yahweh. It's my God, my God.
One more time.
You're my God and your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh.
Yahweh.
Yahweh is our King and his name is Yahweh. Yahweh. Yahweh.
Of the living God tonight, change our lives. Let it be an encounter in your presence in the name of Jesus. Let the sick be healed tonight. Let the oppressed be delivered. Grant us illumination, access to light in the name of Jesus. Let us encounter your anointing and let it create possibilities in our lives in the name of Jesus. God bless you. Please be seated. It's good to be back. I apologize. Last week, for the first time, couldn't make it for the miracle service. But I want us to appreciate Pastor Jimmy alongside all the leaders that were with him. It was such a powerful time last week. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you, sirs. In the name of Jesus Christ. I welcome everyone tonight. It's a great time. Let me just quickly acknowledge the assistant chaplain of Adamawa State University. He's here with us. Thank you so much, sir. The Lord bless you. Hallelujah. Wonderful people. They are the people who make me always want to go to Adamawa State. I mean, they would so pamper you. God bless you. If you're from Adamawa State, make sure you be like them. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know if they are around. My dear friend told me he was going to be here. Dr. Lucas Atlong from Jos. Is he here? Oh, he's there. God bless you. And then his friend, Dr. John. Am I right? God bless you. Please, thank you. Let's honor them. Wonderful, wonderful men of God. They're medical doctors also. Thank you, sir, for coming. The Lord increase you in the name of Jesus Christ. Prophesy to yourself and say, I receive understanding. Say it again, I receive understanding. Turn it into prayer. Lord, grant me great understanding tonight. Talakosi katabari akoshi katabalondusia. Jebreskosi akatambaskola hariakata. Understanding. The entrance of thy word giveth light and understanding unto the simple. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Tonight I'm going to be touching on a number of things and then we'll pray. As I have traveled, especially in recent times, I have been humbled, let me tell you sincerely, at the prophetic words that the Lord spoke to me many years ago. I have seen it in regions, campuses, and I am truly humbled to see that when God speaks, He is reliable. It pays to trust Him. It may not look like it, but if you trust Him, He will surprise you. Hallelujah. And I was sharing, I think, with our dear School of Ministry students yesterday during the lectures, and I was telling them that one of my personal goals in this life is to inspire my generation to love God, to seek Him, and to be revealers of His possibilities. This is my inspiration to my generation. I hope that one day A generation will look at my life and be inspired to love God, to seek Him, and not just to stop there, that their lives will become portraits of the possibilities that a man can demonstrate if and when he's one with God. Are we together now? And so all the teachings that we bring here are an attempt, a contribution, you can call it, to open us up and help build that we rise to that point where we not only know God, but we understand His ways. It's very arrogant for me to have to be the one saying this, but let me tell you sincerely, I love and I care about every one of you from the depth of my heart. It shouldn't be me saying it, but I say it because it's the truth. It matters to me that your knowledge of God is rich. It matters to me that your conformity to the fullness of all that He is and He represents is rich in your life. It matters to me also that you gain intelligence spiritually, that you come to a point where your life is furnished with thorough understanding. You are not unfruitful in the knowledge of the truth. You can know God as a person and still be unfruitful in the knowledge of the systems of the kingdom. You hear me say this, I will keep repeating it until it becomes your convictions. Because the operation of God on earth, in as much as the Bible has revealed to us, is systemic. Are we together? God is the God of systems. When you encounter His person, then He grants you the ability to understand His ways, His methodology, His systems. The results that we seek are dependent on our comprehension and engaging of the systems accordingly. Are we together? So on one hand, we are coming into the knowledge of God, intimacy here and there, but then we must understand His ways. Listen, let me tell you this. Our destinies, the quality of our destinies on earth, not only depend on the love of God for us, but our ability to understand His ways of doing things. Are we together now? To be able to replicate His reality in our environment. That's the whole idea of Kingdom Come. It's not a mystery. It's to be able to sustain the ability to make your life become an expression in every area. Every area. Remember, there's a scripture we've been playing around with very recently. The Bible says, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, according as. Verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you, you know, through the knowledge of Him, of our God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, according as His divine power hath given us how many things? All things that pertain unto what? Apostle Peter would have just stopped and said, His divine power hath given us all things. That would have been enough. But he says those all things are divided into two categories. The matters that pertain unto life and the matters that pertain unto godliness. Everyone say after me, life, godliness. Say one more time, life, godliness. There are matters that pertain unto godliness. For instance, your spiritual growth, right? The issues of the spirit, when I open you up to the dimensions of the spirit, the anointing, understanding the ways of God, digging into the bowels of the spirit to be able to come up with the things that help you to conform better, to become a spiritual man. These are the things that pertain unto godliness. But there are things that pertain unto life. The well-being of your children, matters that pertain unto life. Is that true? The ability to not be under the yoke of this godless system that has designed a structure to strangle any intention to be serious with God. There is a system intentionally built. That's what is captured in the mystery Babylon. A system that was built with intelligence, intended to frustrate any desire to be serious with God. And so the system operates in many ways, by making men busy, by making men poor, by making men mediocre, by making them frustrated to lack a sense of purpose. that those who are not of the world will continue to pay tribute in cash and in kind with their time and with their lives. But there is a bailout system, and the Bible says they are matters that pertain unto life. No matter how anointed you are, when you watch your child being driven out of school, it will frustrate your Christian experience. Now, I have said it again and again, we do not serve God just because of tea and bread. Listen very carefully. We don't serve God because of the things that He gives us. We serve Him because of who He is and our love for Him. But He has so designed in His wisdom that in serving Him, you encounter other things. The ability to attend to the matters of life. Because in doing so, you demonstrate that He is a good Father. Number two, in doing so, you demonstrate dominion. Number three, in doing so, it affords you the time to further commit yourself. Are we together? There is a conspiracy. It's always been there, but it's been reinforced again. This system of Satan occupying men, their time, their life, to never allow them to serve God. Do you know why many of the people we call God's generals were powerful? They gave God time. That is the commodity that Satan is fighting today in our generation. Time. You never know anything without giving it time. You meet a Fulani man, he can whisper something to his cows and they will behave themselves because he spends time with them. You don't wake up and come one morning and tell a cow, move left. These are animals. Our time with God is under attack. Hear me carefully. Our time with God, that is the principal factor that sponsors our knowledge of Him, is under serious attack. And if a generation does not stand up to say, Satan, what are you doing? Our children, you see these little kids running up and down, they will no longer have time for God. There is a system that is derailing men away, and is doing it in a very subtle way. It's not happening overnight. You check the schedules of the average man. There is nothing about God there, aside from one religious devotion that is done in 10 minutes. God is not, you can't give God 10 minutes of your time and want to host His glory. You come back to sleep, you are tired. And it's not like you were doing anything kingdom. Satan's system. He manipulates men like he's playing a chess. Something is wrong. Brothers and sisters, I'm starting tonight with a clarion call. Something is wrong. Our generation really needs to seek the Lord, but not under the conditions that the devil has put us in. You're not going to seek the Lord when your rent is about killing you. You will just dance around and give thanks, but not to seek the Lord. It's amazing how we have to sit down and specially create time for God. We don't specially create time for money. We are seeking it all our lives. We don't specially create time for fame. We don't specially create time for a living. But when it comes to God, there has to be an extra effort. It says, as for me and my house, it didn't say we'll be Christians. We will serve. It's a commitment. As for, it was not saying as for a pastor who is now into this burden called ministry. Say, as for me and my house, I have made a decision that I will serve the Lord. Our generation is under serious threat. Look how hard the devil has made it for an average young man to be established. Even at age 40, he has not even started establishment. If he's to live 80 years, that's half of his life gone. And don't forget that when he's 60, 70, his strength may not be there again. And the Bible says that we should serve God in the days of our youth. So he rubbishes the days of our youth so that we spend our entire life looking for what to eat, what to drink, trying to educate our minds, trying to earn a living. And then we give him some little time, devotions here, one program, one emotional crusade here. We will never. It's impossible to institutionalize God to a generation that way. If we want our children and our children's children to serve the Lord, let me tell you, we must make God a big deal in our generation. Not a factor you add to your life if you are a Christian, but the basis of your living. I'm concerned especially about our teenagers. Most of them don't know God again. Ask them, when we were teenagers, one young man who is not even serious, just a Sunday school goer, can recite 30 verses. It doesn't matter whether he loves God or not. But you ask one of these young ones to recite even John 3:16. That unbelievers who were passing around church knew. You ask them and hear what they will tell you. But ask them, what is the latest app? The latest computer game? The latest, what do we call it? All these funny things. They are not wrong in themselves. But something is happening to a generation. If we don't pay attention, we will cry in old age and say, Lord, did I fail my generation? These are my contemplations. The level of non-attention to God is becoming a thing of concern. We are going to churches. Sundays, churches are full with members. Wednesday, activity. I'm talking of seeking the Lord. Not as a profession for a man of God where he gets salary at the end of the month. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Most people who serve the Lord is because they have given up on the matters of life. There is no hope of sending any child to school. There is no hope of anything. They know they would die whether or not they serve the Lord. So they say, okay, since I have 2 years left, let me just try to do something. No. Our generation has brought an option. Be poor and fail and serve the Lord, or be blessed and be occupied trying to make a living. Who gave us that option? As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. That one day I will come to your house on a weekday and hear sounds of worship from your gate, not cassette. You and your four children are serving the Lord. And I say, by 2 o'clock, I thought you should be earning a living. And he said, he showed me another system. Now we are serving the Lord. And visitors pull their mouth while they are languishing in the squalor of rebellion and watch you. Say, Pastor Alpha, you are serving the Lord. Jedidiah is 12 years and his teenager friends are there all around smoking their destinies away, and this child is there serving the Lord. It is selfishness and wickedness that makes us to forget the generation that is coming. I'm sorry to say it, and I love our parents. We have many of our elderly people here. I love them. But one of the mistakes that our fathers made was they were very selfish. They did not remember that a generation was coming. So all they did was to educate their minds and look for food to eat. There's hardly any heritage given to a young man. Every young man starts almost from ground zero, spiritually, financially. The time a young man should use building his spirit is fighting warfare, because the chains that have held him at 30, he must spend 1 year contending for victory. As for me and my house, I can't claim it for everybody, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How many of us here got born again directly by our parents? How many of you? Some of us were just around and salvation by the mercy of God met you in one Sunday school. Some of you, salvation met you at the point of death. Did you know that for many of us, we never had the talk about God? We had godliness in a religious way. Every time there was Bible study, something happened. A sound in the zinc, demotion that was imminent, or something that sponsored some emotional reaction. Say, as for me and my house. Say, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Are we together? Yes. It matters that we make this decision right now, that we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. I've been doing a lot of counseling lately, especially for our dear ones that are getting married, and I look at them. My first concern is, will your home serve the Lord? Will your life serve the Lord? Let me tell you, there is a wicked Babylonian financial system there that was designed to make sure you don't serve the Lord. How can one man do five jobs because he's trying to pay rent? It's a curse. You wake up by 6, do a job to 12, and Satan makes sure a stipend comes from there. And then you start another one till 4. And your body is weak, but you know if you don't do this, you will not eat well. And you start another one. And in the next 5 years, that man dies and leaves 7 children. Look at our dear mothers. Something is wrong, go. Listen to me. I came tonight to talk to you from the depth of my heart. It's a vow. I've bailed myself. That's the truth. You bail yourself through a commitment of obedience. But my job is to share this with you, that if we don't wake up and join ignorant people or this proud religiosity that only focuses on the matters of godliness and leaves the matters of life, one day you will stand and watch. You will be a mighty man of God with a big parish and your wife, and you will watch your children with PTA letter come and stand before you. We've been expelled, not because we smoked, not because we drank, because the means to make it happen was not there. You will be in a church and the owner will come and lock the church while service is going on and drive you out. As for me and my house, everything that must be put in place in my life to allow me serve God, I will put in place. If you can make that commitment tonight, we have achieved something so far. It says the things that pertain unto life and godliness, and those things, the equipping comes through knowledge. There is no shortcut to greatness. There is no shortcut to glory. Sacrifice has always been the non-negotiable condition. The sacrifice of your commitment, your life, your resources, your attention. You may not have the best of atmosphere and environment, but there is a determination that superimposes those things. For the sake of my generation, I will present Jesus. Are we blessed? The things that pertain unto life and godliness. There are some of us, and it really grieves my heart, as young as we are, condition as we call it has taken away our focus from God. There are some of us here, early 20s, yet you have to be sending something home. God is calling you into ministry, but the focus is not there. The moment he's speaking, here comes the bills, here comes the whatever. And you know that your poor aged mother who couldn't go to school, our fathers, many of them largely disobedient and proud people, although they don't have any result. You see that? And they yoke all of that. The average home right now has many relatives waiting for their elder brother to marry because he's the one who will continue the education for them. If all you see is poverty, you are not seeing well. You must see an attack on a generation. If all you see is sickness, you are not seeing well. You must see an attack. Look at the long-term effect of that. A day will come, our men will no longer go to church because they have to work all day on Sunday to add to it. It is vain to wake up in the morning and to sleep late in the night only to eat the bread of sorrow. So by the time the father is not there to raise the child, the devil positions somebody who is now employed, who now teaches that child. Whether the father is a pastor or a bishop is not the issue. Look at the children of men of God. This is a cry and a burden that is boiling in my heart. We must redeem not only ourselves, but redeem a generation. We must start thinking transgenerationally. Don't say you are too young. If the entire scope of your life is just me, my marriage, my home, my this, no, you must start thinking. You see that? When Koinonia started, this young boy seated here was in the loins of prophecy. Today he's now hearing. You will be surprised. One day now, this small boy you see will be going to secondary school. One day he will be writing jam. And you will open your eyes and see that I made a mistake I cannot correct again. Many of us seated here, the reason why our lives are delayed is because we have to pay the price that was made by our parents before we start building our own lives. You've not even started building your own life yet. You are paying a debt you know nothing about. Then when you are 50 and have paid, then you now start your own life. It's an attack. Listen to me very carefully. It's an attack. An attack on the integrity of God. An attack on a generation that can seek God. All these revelations that we dish out in the body of Christ will soon become useless if we ignore these things, because there will be nobody to hear them again. All the dimensions of heavens and the stars and the constellations, we would talk to ourselves as men of God on stage while everybody runs around everywhere trying to make a living. Make a living is a curse. There are many of our parents, it's in their deathbed, they will confess that I was called to be a prophet to my generation. Called to be a prophet. They would have been at the dimension of Benny Hinn today. Imagine how many destinies would have been changed if they answered the call. But they were hijacked. And they only see the visions in their parlor. God shows them global events and they are there. No grace and influence to effect it. You read about these generals. Some of them can hold 1 year of prayer. You know, sometimes men of God hold prayer meetings. Is it not those who have eaten that will come? If I hold a prayer meeting 5 days in a week, Pastor Alpha, you're a lecturer. Except God grants you grace, you can't be effective. You are only effective when you have options. And that's what Satan wants to make sure a whole generation does not have. No option. No option. There is an attack on our generation. We must open our eyes and see it. This is not just the issue of money. This is not the issue of influence. This is the issue of the destiny of a generation. The prophetic destiny. The prophets labored in the Bible and prophesied about our generation. And they died not seeing this. Now we have come in the scene. And many of us are just playing games with our lives, doing the same old things that brought pain to us, so that our own children will cry. I want to serve the Lord, not because I'm a preacher. I want to serve the Lord because my life was meant to be a revelation of His glory. I want to serve the Lord. I want to be the one to coach my children, not Sunday school. Son, sit down. Let me teach you the Bible. Not police station, teach my child how to live. Not a rehab center. Teach your child or daughter how to live. Is God speaking to us tonight? I'm challenging you. There is a serious burden in my heart. If we do not arise for our generation, let me tell you, very soon you will be laboring on your child, and the lawless children of another person who is not listening to what I'm saying will be there to become the strongholds. We not only must care about our children, we must care about our generation. One child, 90% of our children are influenced to be bad. They are not bad on their own. You are laboring to train them. There is another godless man somewhere, and they all meet in the same place. And Cain dominates Abel and make our children feel sorry for being Christians. You look at many of us here, you are looking at me now. Look how ashamed you are if you are in the social sphere. Now you are in church, you are jumping. But once you are there, are you drinking? No, I don't drink. Are you this in? No, and they look at you, oh, what a child. This guy's eyes have no, and you feel so guilty for loving God and being attention and paying attention to him. It's like the in thing now is rebellion. You are a man to the degree to which you are stubborn, lawless, rebellious, and proud. That's what we are marketing to a generation. That is the portrait of a superhero that our children are learning. If you must be a superhero, be rebellious. Be a bully. Be everything but a Christian. The average young child is not interested in church again. Again, you invite them. Find out how many teenagers come for Koinonia. You'll be surprised. There are young people, there are old people, but the teenagers don't come. It's not because it's night. They stroll around and then go around and do a lot of things, and Satan comes. He wants to capture that generation. But in the name of Jesus Christ, there are people who will say, no way. There are people who will create a spiritual barricade that as the priest of my home, no way. Satan, there is no entrance. Huh? That gentleman who was talking about Aleko or whatever it is, look at now. That a time will come, your child will be saying, mommy, we are from Benue, but what is that? You say, I settled it already. Don't worry. It was well settled. That discussion, just one day I will tell you about the story. That once upon a time in our village, people don't reach 30. But I stood as an altar and I settled it. Are we together? And one of the deceptions, let me begin to build my discussion tonight now. One of the deceptions that I think God is granting me grace to connect tonight is what I call the danger of imbalance. Write it down. The danger, the catastrophic danger of imbalance. It not only matters that we communicate truth, it matters that the truth we communicate must be the whole counsel of God. Everybody say the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God is a definition of all his intention. Everything he desires for a people within a time period to know about him represents the whole counsel of God for that dispensation. And one of the things that you see Satan playing out right now is an attempt to use religion as a tool that sponsors imbalance in our quest, seeing then that he cannot stop us from having an appetite for God, he now begins to sell imbalance to believers. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, imbalance is as dangerous as falsehood. Imbalance is as dangerous as a lie. Let's examine a few things before I talk about imbalance. I shared one time about three great errors that the Lord revealed to me in the body of Christ, if you remember, when we were talking about the body of Christ. Let me do a quick recap. That the Lord began to reveal to me that there were three great errors in the body of Christ. The first error is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. He said, the Spirit speaketh expressly. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. We're examining the first error now. Giving heed to seducing spirits and then the doctrine of devils. Everyone say the doctrine of devils. Another word for this is apostasy. Apostasy, a deviation from God's known pattern of operation. Apostasy. The first error that the body of Christ has to contend with is the error of apostasy. Listen to my message, the apostate church. Apostasy, a deviation from the truth and also a deviation from God's pattern. Two things there. A deviation from the truth is called apostasy, but a deviation from the pattern of communicating that truth is also apostasy. even if the information is correct, but the spiritual system of transferring it is wrong, it is still apostasy. Are we together? In God's dealings with men, both the information and the pattern are important. Not just the information. Don't just say the most important thing is that I'm healed. The most important thing is that I prosper. The most important thing is that I get anointing. No, sir, there is a predefined pattern. When God looks at you and you are doing business with God, what you got is not as important as how it came. Don't just say I was anointed. Don't just say I was prosperous. Don't just say I got married. Don't just say I had a child. God is obsessed with patterns. That if you must host his glory, then there must be a formation that must be according to pattern. Apostasy. I teach that there are two dimensions to apostasy. Number one, the communicator of the message himself not being of God. That's the first dimension. Whether as a man of God, as a businessman, whoever attempting to communicate anything, the plan from the beginning was deception. Intrinsically, the communicator himself is of the devil. There is such a possibility in the body of Christ and in our environment. Not just apostate informations, apostate people. People who are not, they were never, never of God from the first place. Are we blessed? And then number two, the people, the communicators of those truths may be genuine, but the information they are communicating is a doctrine of demons. You can be genuine, sincere. Let me take ministry as a case study. You can be a sincere man of God. You love God. You are not fake. But the content of your communication is a doctrine that is not sponsored by the Spirit of Christ. The Bible says that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and then doctrines of demons. I can be a genuine man of God, genuinely anointed by God, but because of a system the Bible calls seduction. Are we together now? I can deviate from God's way of doing things and now become a communicator. I am not fake, but my message is not genuine. Both of these cases can be classified as apostasy. So that's the first error. The second error that I teach is the error of individualism, also the error of indifference. Write it down. Indifference, what we call I don't care attitude, right? Individualism, we don't think kingdom, we don't think generational, we think me. So if Ejimi's leg is having a problem, provided it has not affected me, it's none of my business. This is where many men of God, many of we pastors, Pentecostals especially, have missed it. We have missed it big time in this area. We are so individualistic. We don't care about what is happening to the body. Provided my church, provided my life is immune from it, to hell with the body. Are we together? Yeah. So if the danger has not come to meet me, it doesn't matter. If an armed robber comes to steal in a pastor's church nearby, it was not my church, it was not my member, my kingdom financier was not robbed. So, pastor, may God bless you. If someone dies, provided he's not a member of my church, it's amazing how we leaders mentor people to deliberately select. Being in the body is not enough. You must be associated with me to be able to enjoy certain benevolence that is meant for the body. It's a poisonous spirit. The error of indifference, the error of individualism. When God begins to build his army, his system of operation is that he takes us beyond individualism and connects us as an organism. If your leg is having pains, your head can pain you because of the leg. Is that true? We're returning back from Kano, and we stopped at a filling station to get fuel. And one guy was marketing a funny product. You know these guys that market something at the filling station? And he said, the drug or the lotion, whatever it is for teeth, but you rub it on your leg. Yes, he said, you don't have to rub the thing on your teeth. You just rub it on your leg. Now, that's a body consciousness. At least I didn't buy it, but he taught me that the leg is related to the teeth. Because we have been taught to apply drugs only where it hurts and leave other parts. And he said, no, let me show you another formula. You can apply it in the leg, but it can touch the teeth. That means I can pray from Zaria and God can preserve Kenneth Copeland, because it is the body. I can hear that there is an attack on a man of God and not say, after all, they don't listen. Say, no, Lord, this, whatever it is, he's part of the body. His integrity is our integrity as the body. And Lord, arise in your mercy for your name's sake. But we keep becoming individualistic. You as believers, what is your pride? Our pride, let me tell you the pride of our generation. Three things. One, revelation, rhema. The extent to which you bring an exegesis of the truth. And nothing is wrong with that, right? Greek words, Hebrew words, play around with all kinds of concordances and then dish out mysteries. We love that. Two, prophecy. If I give you a prophetic word, which is not bad. Three, anointing. And our definition of anointing is fall down, not result. Fall down. Just make sure you hit that bench as a testament that the communicator is having something. And so this erroneously become the pivot of our pursuit. We're looking for revelation. We're looking for an ability to communicate, which is to be desired. And then we're looking for an anointing to make sure when we step into a meeting, people just fall up and down. And when these things happen, we believe that we are fine. And we don't extend the scope of our alliance to God to extend beyond our personal comforts to think body. In terms of administration, you know, I love Koinonia. Thank God this is where he's planted me. But in terms of the health of the church, I am passionately concerned about the body of Christ. Just follow me. We are going somewhere tonight. Are we blessed? The third error that I teach, I have taught this already, so is what I call exaggerated confrontation of error. This is where it even gets sad. Exaggerated confrontation of error. That means that error that is attempted to be corrected, but not from a standpoint of love. Error that is attempting to be corrected from a standpoint of intrinsic intimidation by the supposed corrector. Now listen very carefully. You see, please come, Ejimin. Can I use you? Amen. When you see Ejimin, one word, you think wealth, finances, right? Well, anointing too. Anointing. At least last week you saw it. Praise God. Now watch this. Chances are that if God has called Ejimi to represent that dimension of maybe the Holy Spirit and finances to people, and I have a bias with finances, either as a result of my mentality or my frustrations, two of them can cause the same thing. I can have a poor mentality, or I can be secretly frustrated. Now if there is an imbalance in Ejimi's life or his way of communicating that, chances are that because I was angry since, even before the imbalance came, now that I have found a scapegoat of a lapse in him, I will correct it in a way, you know, it was paining me. This is not, the point is not to correct. The point is to vent out pain. There is a big, this exaggerated confrontation is even more deadly than error itself. I once had somewhere a man of God was talking about those, he was saying they teach people how to pray in tongues somewhere, you know, trying to be sarcastic. That man himself does not pray in tongues. He doesn't believe it. But there's no legitimate case for him to fight it. So he now routes through a church or a man of God that he sees teaching people, he now uses that one exception. This is how you know error is exaggerated. A man of God or a businessman or whatever picks one single error and rubs it off beyond the proportion of his relevance. You know that the goal is not to sponsor correction. The goal is to help manage intimidation. Are we together now? So Ejimi talks about money and all of that, and all of a sudden I'm there in my frustration, and I turn and I say, be careful, all these guys that just talk about money all the time. The truth of the matter is that I may be right in speaking about that unique situation, but it's not coming from a standpoint that wants to contribute to the health of the body. I am only communicating because I am intrinsically frustrated. Thank you, sir. Are we blessed? Some of us here seated looking at me have become victims even of this. It tells on how we hate anointed people. It tells on how we hate wealthy people. Are we together now? Yes. And so we try, everybody right now is in the ministry of correction. That is the latest anointing that is going all around. Everybody is correcting everybody. Everybody, once you have access to a mic and you can talk and people can hear you, everybody is correcting everybody. Let me tell you this, the greatest danger in the church now is not error. The greatest danger is imbalance. And this imbalance has come from this third point. This is where I want to build my case tonight. So pay attention so that you find out whether you are part of it and trust God to help you tonight. Everybody shout imbalance. There is something about the limitation of Pentecostals that our Orthodox brothers and sisters capitalize on and use it as the basis why you should not be open to the things of the Holy Spirit. Then there are things that the Pentecostals use as their excuse for thinking an Orthodox lifestyle is too mean and basic and all of that. And all of them may have some sense of justification, but the truth is that there is an inner anger for one another, just waiting for a legitimate excuse. Are we together now? Yeah. Whether it is an issue of marriage or finances or fidelity or issues that have to do with administration and leadership, whatever it is, how you know that correction is not coming from a sincere point is the exaggeration. I always say you use a hammer to kill a fly. A simple tap on that fly, it will die. But when you use hammer, you were angry. It's not about the fly. The fly just happens to be what the hammer is hitting. Obviously, that hammer was not designed for the fly. It's just that the fly got in the way of the hammer. And boy, will that hammer hit the fly. There is a spirit of pride. Listen carefully. It looks like it's coming from God, but I'm exposing Lucifer. There is something Satan is doing in the, especially among we men of God that God has privileged to have access to revelation and anointing and a dimension of the miraculous. Pride is gradually eating us up because we believe that because of the little results we have authority by ourselves to correct everybody and everything. Every man of God is trying to show what another man is doing wrong. Everyone is trying to show that this is wrong. Why are you praying like this? The other one will say, you too, why are you keeping quiet when you are praying? The other one say, what is the meaning of warfare? The other one say, keep waiting, demons are coming. See, let me tell you this. Listen carefully. If we do not trust God to rise up and correct these imbalances, we are going to authorize Satan to destroy us. God's goal is not to produce koinonia in all the earth. If God gives me an assignment and says, apostle, through you the gospel will get to the ends of the earth, he was talking to all the people who will come out spiritually and prophetically through my loins. Through, there are ministries that will come out of me. They are an extension of that instruction. The idea is not to turn every believer in Nigeria into koinonia. It's a f-